Good morning. Welcome. If you're one of our guests, we welcome you and are thankful that you've come our way and that you've decided to be a part of what we're doing this morning as we worship God. I just want to give you a little bit of a disclaimer that things look a little different this morning. And that's because, as Rob Rice mentioned, our greeter mentioned, that we have our vacation Bible school this week. And so as he mentioned, we don't usually have the art going on and all the things around the building. And I'm going to trust the teen group over here. If that anyone starts to act up and come at me, you guys will give me a heads up as they're behind me. But things are a little different this morning, and the sermon's going to be a little different as we're going to kind of preview some of the stuff that we have going on this week and then encourage each other to take a step into that. So the first thing, as Rob mentioned, is that we have our vacation Bible school this week. The time has come. We've been talking about this thing with Vacation Bible School and this thing, Go Northeast, where the Madison Church from Madison, Alabama is coming up to work with us. We've been talking about it all year, from the beginning of the year, and now it has come. It's a joy. We have so much to look forward to. And, you know, we've been announcing VBS so much and talking about Vacation Bible School. You know, in staff meeting, we're like, well, maybe we should let up on it this week. But we're thinking, well, it's the week of. We need to push this one more time. And then, you know, we might highlight it next week. So maybe this won't be the last time you hear of it. And so we're looking forward to it. Please, if you've not already, register your children. And you still have plenty of time to invite friends, coworkers, and neighbors. There's not a fixed deadline, but the earlier you can let us know who's coming with you, the better, so we can prepare. But of course, we're going to be prepared to receive whoever comes. Remember, please register your teens. I talked to the teens this morning in Bible class and gave them a little snapshot of what I'm telling you now. A lot of them will be working in different ways, but still, please register your teens. There's still going to be a teen class that will be prepared and ready for any guests that come with teens to be a part of that. And then remember, it is not just for our kids. It's not just for our teens. It's not a drop-off situation. We want you to come be a part of this. But it's also not just for the families that have kids or teens. We want everyone to be a part of this upcoming week. And there's an abundance of ways that you can be a part of it and that you can join in what's going on next week. But even for the Vacation Bible School, there's an adult class. And yes, that adult class is going to be more geared towards parenting, as it talks about some of the issues of parenthood and all that goes along with that. We have professionals coming in to teach those classes. However, when you come to it and you're a participant in that, even if you don't have kids in the home or you don't have grandkids right now, you are there to help receive our guests as they come. Guests of parents, or parents who have signed their kids up for VBS. We have some. We sent out a mail out. Had someone registered just last week. From our mail out, had people register from invitations from our members. And if you come to that, you're able to come and help receive them. And so please see that as an opportunity to come, be hospitable to guests who might come to that VBS, no matter what situation you are in. And if you do plan on joining us next week for Vacation Bible School, just a reminder, we have dinners every night at 5 o'clock. Thursday night is hot dogs, and we're going to have some Skyline chili for some of our guests to try, for everybody to have, but we want to welcome in Madison the right way and not have Gold Star there, but have Skyline chili. And then Friday night is chicken sandwiches, and then Saturday night, walking tacos. Wanted to throw out there in case there's any food limitations with some of the children as you sign up for that. But you can find that link. I believe it's in the bulletin. I know it'll be in the Northeast News tomorrow. But please pre-register for that. Again, dinner's at 5. VBS starts at 6. And so I know that's kind of tight. But main thing is we're trying to feed Madison. But we want everyone to join in as many as you can to be a part of what's happening next week. But just please RSVP if you can. If you can't, it's okay. But just wanting to get a ballpark idea of how many mouths we're going to be feeding. I also want to give you a big snapshot of the week in terms of service, because Vacation Bible School is only one thing of one part. It's a big part, I'll give you that, but it's one part of this partnership with this church coming from Alabama. And the other part is that we're going to be going out and reaching out to our community, doing a variety of projects that puts us in close proximity to people who live around our building. In fact, we've tried to keep all these projects within a 5-mile radius of the building here for in order to truly reach out to our neighbors. Now, I live in Lebanon, which isn't 5 miles from the building, but we can still invite our friends, neighbors, and co-workers who live in different parts of town. But our projects, we're really trying to keep close to the building here, make some connections near the building. And so I want to go through those. And there's also a link in the bulletin for you to go. Click on that link and register and sign up, RSVP for any of these. We realize it's kind of hard with it being during the work week, but those who maybe you're retired or maybe you have some time off this week, we'd love to have you join us. On Thursday, we're going to have four different projects going on. If we have more people sign up, we'll add five, we'll add six, we'll add more projects in order to accommodate everybody wanting to join in and be a part of this. But the first one, we're going to have a car wash, coffee and donuts up here in the front of the building. We have two stations set up there. Our business group who meets here at the building, or BNI group, we've invited them to come as they leave their meeting, come get their car washed as a way to serve them. If you don't know, on Thursdays we have like 100. A lot of them are business owners who band together in a network and meet here at our building. So I want to try to serve them, but also we're going to be inviting people from Reed Hartman with those big signs and say, come get your car washed. And as they get their car washed, we'll visit with them here in the coffee bar. Have coffee and donuts available for them. The second one, and Grady Smith is going to be leading this one, is Brookwood Retirement Community. That's this retirement community just across the street from Reed Hartman as you come in to the neighborhood here. And so we're just going to have some small activities with the residents there at Brookwood and hopefully build a relationship that we can maintain over time. The third project on Thursday is gift bag prep. And so as I've mentioned, we have a lot of outside groups that use our building. One of those is the business group called BNI. And then we have several other groups like an AA group, an SA group, and so these anonymous support groups, but also a homeschool group. And then this is really cool, even Chick-fil-A uses our building for some of their meetings. So we want to bless those groups and just say, even though we're the host, but just say, hey, we're thankful that you come and that you use our building and that we're able to have this relationship, and just a little gift bag, nothing too crazy, but just a little token of appreciation for them and let them know that we see them and that we appreciate our partnership. And then the fourth activity for Thursday, and these are not consecutive. These are all going on at the same time, by the way. And so you sign up for one of these. And so the fourth one is we're going to send a group out to Summit Park, big green space there, going to have a kickball game going on, and then we're going to have cold drinks and snacks, cold water bottles to pass out to people who maybe are off on a walk that morning or whatever, or if we see a family with kids, invite, hey, come play kickball with us and can maybe build some relationships there. And if the opportunity presents itself, maybe invite them to Vacation Bible School. And then Friday, we'll just have one big project you can sign up for, and that's that we're going to do a work day over at Stewart Elementary, which is the elementary school just a few minutes over here. And it's a Sharonville school, a Princeton school. And this is a school we have partnered with a lot. If you've donated food around November we call Feed Stewart Schools, that's this school. And so we've partnered with them. We've done a lot in the past in terms of landscaping and giving them some outside educational spaces. Like they have a garden that Northeast had a lot to do with building. And some other outdoor areas. And so on Friday, we're going to be going there over there at 9 and staying until about 1:30. And we're going to be maintaining some of those spots. And Nick Hutchins is going to be leading that effort, him and Rob Brown. And they'll have it all organized for us and jobs to do. And so plan to bring work clothes on that day and to get a little messy. And that's the plan for Friday morning. And then Saturday, right now, we're just doing one again. And it is a parents' morning out for the foster care families over at Focus on Youth. And I'm already seeing a lot of people sign up for Saturday, so likely we're going to have some other sort of project come up that we'll do so that we can keep everybody active and doing something and not standing around. Because this is an important week, and we have a lot of opportunities here. And looking forward to it. But please RSVP for those so we have a general picture of how many groups we need. But also lunch will be provided on those days, so that also gives us an idea for how many to expect for lunch. So a lot of opportunities, and in order to think about those things, last week we did a day of fasting, on Monday, a day of fasting and prayer, Monday, June 17th, did from Sunday p.m., 6 p.m. to Monday from 6 p.m., and just a focused effort in prayer and meditation on all that God is doing here at Northeast already in terms of outreach, in terms of mobilizing us and filling us with the Spirit as we go out and make an impact on our community. And then this week, Monday, June 24th, and last week prayed about partnership with Madison, praying for their preparations as they come. This week we want to focus on all these outreach projects we're doing. Pray for our VBS, pray for Stewart Schools, pray for the Brookwood Retirement Community, all the different things we're going to be doing. Are the outside groups that meet at our building, pray that we can bless them and build greater relationships that can be leveraged for Christ. And so, again, that'll be tonight and start at 6 p.m. and go till tomorrow at 6 p.m. And listen, maybe for whatever reason, you're not able to participate. Maybe it's a health reason, or maybe it's not something you've taken a step into yet and it's intimidating. Even if you don't participate in the fasting, I challenge you to, I invite you to, and the leadership here invites you to. But at the same time, even if you just spend some time in prayer tomorrow for these things and devote yourself to an extra portion of prayer as we prepare ourselves for all that is happening this week and that we're a part of. You'll see it in the bulletin. There's a link to a guide. It's going to go out to the Northeast News again this week, and that it's a prayer and fasting guide that kind of can direct your thoughts as you spend time praying for these efforts. And so hope we'll all join in that. You'll see also tomorrow, we're going to send out it's anonymous link. And the reason I did anonymous is, I didn't want people not to participate just because in the day of, or to fill it out, or it felt like they had to participate, because if it's not anonymous, then, if I didn't or not, or whatever. But there's going to be an anonymous link sent out tomorrow. We just want to know how many participated in the day of prayer and fasting. Even if you didn't fast, you participated in the day of prayer, you can select yes on that. That's going to go out tomorrow. We just want to know how many have been doing this the last 2 weeks and be encouraged by that number. I'll tell you this. I'll give you a number that's encouraging before we jump into our content this morning. A number that's encouraging is I've kept track of everybody, and I don't think it's exactly accurate, but everyone who has done something, volunteered in some way, contributed, maybe you brought snacks, whether that's chips, jelly beans, or waters for VBS, or whatever it might be. But we have kept track of all the volunteers, people volunteer for VBS, for the service projects, host families, and right now we have 130 of our members signed up to do something next week and to be a part of what's going on. And that's nearly 50% of our church. And if you count our VBS participants, which I do, that's being part of the week, that number is much, much higher. And so that's something to be encouraged by. I think that number is going to get higher and higher next week. But again, we want to view this as an opportunity for us to show up and to reach out to our community. And then we just have this church from Alabama who's coming to help us, right? They're not coming to do the work, and we support them, but they're coming here to support us as we reach out and take ownership of the mission of God here in Cincinnati. And as you'll see in the prayer guide, our constant prayer in all of this is that God's will be done in Cincinnati as it is in heaven. And you and I, we're ambassadors for that mission. I want to talk about that for just a moment. As we think about what is the mission of God, this morning we're talking about stepping into that mission. And as I've just presented to you, we've got a lot of opportunity to step into that mission this week. And so I want to answer that question, what is God's mission? And we've talked about that a lot this year. And so some of this, for many of you, is going to be review. And perhaps some you've seen a little bit of the content this morning. But as we embark on this initiative next week, I want us to be reminded of some things that we've talked about throughout this year, some things maybe we've talked about even last year, but some concepts that we see in Scripture of what the mission of God is, and very simple, and some things that we just had a leadership meeting yesterday and talked about some of these things, some things that we want to see embedded into the culture here at Northeast. That this is not just a summer project, 1 year in 2024, but that some of what we're going to talk about this morning and in the coming weeks in this 4 to 5 week series, that this can be something that changes us and impacts our culture. And there's so many ways that we already are stepping into the mission of God here at Northeast. But as all of us know, there's always something that we can do to step deeper into that. And so as we talk about the mission of God, Latin word, missio Dei, what we're talking about here, and the way I defined it in a few series ago was this, is that ultimately when we look at the mission of God, it's not just redemptive. That is, it's not just God reaching out to us after we have messed up or we've strayed from him. But from the very beginning of creation, God was a sending God. And he sent his people, the people he created, Adam and Eve, to be his partners out in his creation. And so the mission of God, the sending of God is this, that we were created in the image of God for partnership and relationship with him, to rule and partner with him over his creation. That was the original intent for humanity's relationship with him, was to be his partners, his image bearers, in carrying out and bringing about his goodness to his creation. Now, of course, what we see in the garden, what happens in the garden, is Adam and Eve stray from that partnership, and they make a decision that puts some separation in that, and sin and death enter the world. But God then, since then, has been working then as a part of his mission and original sending to restore us back into that right relationship and that right partnership with him so that we can represent him to the world. And ultimately, he's done that through Jesus. But this is the mission of God today. In 2024, God is continuing to draw people to himself one person at a time. And this initiative, this has been called throughout history, the scheme of redemption, if you will, God's plan for drawing people back to him, this was ultimately realized in Jesus. And when I think about the mission of God, I think it's all centered around Jesus. Because Jesus came and he showed us what God is. He was God. He was a full representation of God. He showed us the Father as God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he showed us what it means to embody the mission of God, what it means to partner with God through the life that he lived as a real human being on this earth. He showed us what it looks like to live in full partnership and relationship with God. And ultimately modeled the heart of God in giving himself, willingly laying down his life on the cross, giving that gift of forgiveness, that gift of salvation, but also through the resurrection, giving us that power then to live as his partners and in relationship to him. And so it's a full circle thing, all centered around Jesus. And so you and I have an invitation. As we look at all that we have an opportunity to look into this week, and we look at this mission that is before us, that is planned out, we've seen it, we can sign up for it literally through an RSVP this week. But as we see this mission before us, we need to realize that this starts with the mission inside of us, that we answer this call. That this is a call not just for us to step into a mission, but this is a call for us to respond to the mission of God and what God has been doing in the world for thousands of years. And that call is in the form of an invitation. And we've looked at this passage before, but in Mark 1, verse 17, Jesus is calling Jesus was calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It started with the Gospels. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And as they're on the fishing boats, Jesus calls them. He says this. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And what I want to suggest to you this morning, and as we've suggested in the past, that this gives us a basic formula for, one, what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and then two, what it means to step into God's mission. We're going to illustrate that this morning. And so the first thing here, Jesus says, "Follow me." The invitation to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and to many others, and then since this day, to thousands and millions of people, this call has been to follow me. And what that means is that Jesus is inviting all people to become his disciple. And what that word means at that time, it was kind of this idea of an apprentice, of a student who gives themselves to a teacher. And in their context, it was like a student following a rabbi. and then many other contexts. We might think of it today as an intern or an apprentice. But in their context, a student following a rabbi. And this was such a powerful thought, as students would literally live their lives with their rabbi. They'll go around and follow them wherever they go, from town to town, as the rabbi would do his teaching schedule and the student would be nearby. I've heard it been said that the student would even sleep in the same room as the rabbi. The point was to be as close to the rabbi as possible so that the rabbi's wisdom can be imparted to the student. And in fact, I've heard it's been said before. I've heard this from John Mark Comer, where he said that you want to follow your rabbi so closely as a disciple that you're covered in the dust of his feet. You get that? This is talking about in their context and a day in which they wore more sandals and a dustier culture, that the idea is following behind them is as he walked, you're following so closely behind them that you're covered in the dust of your rabbi. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It's a lifelong journey. It begins with a decision, an initial decision, but then it's a lifelong journey of following so closely after Jesus that we're covered with the dust of his feet, and that we end up, leads us to the next point, end up becoming like him. And that's the second part of what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to step in the mission of God, is not only to give ourselves to Jesus as his followers, but also realize, as he says, and I will make you become. We also need to realize that there's change that happens when we are brought into close proximity to Jesus. You can't help it. You know those type of people where it could be good or bad, and we know this all from life experience. You spend enough time with someone, and you kind of start picking up their mannerisms. You start talking like them. I've caught myself talking more like Nick and Grady at times. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm spending a lot of time with these guys, for the good and for the bad. but it's proximity, right? You're surrounded by people. You start to become more like them. And so when we follow so closely to Jesus that we're covered with his dust, the goal is to be changed, to become like him. And various voices in culture will say, no, you need to stay as you are. There's that talking about changing someone is this toxic idea. And I get where they're coming from, and maybe they're talking about something different than what I'm talking about this morning. But I've heard that from both sides. I've heard from others who say, you know, who have been followers of Jesus their entire life, and they're a bit older, and they say, listen, this is the way I am, and I'm towards the end of my life, and I'm not changing, right? And I'm set in my ways. I've heard people tell me that before. And from both angles, I push back on that and say, no, to follow Jesus is to be changed by Jesus. You are loved as you are, but when you're in close proximity to Jesus, the goal is to become more like him, to be changed, to be transformed, to be recreated, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the ultimate goal. He says, I will make you become. Then the third thing we see, the third aspect of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus then is to be a fisher of men. And I know that's one of those terms that just seems kind of archaic and old. If you look at, some of the content put out in churches, like this was especially in the 70s, a lot of Bible studies called this and this idea, but this idea is a profound one. I hope me and Grady illustrated that in our series of Breakfast on the Beach and talking about what it means to be a fisher of men. But truly what it means is just to join in God's mission. A disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus, someone who is changed by Jesus, and then someone who joins the mission of Jesus, who seeks and saves the lost. And I want to bring up this quote by Bobby Harrington and Scott Sager. I've mentioned it before, is that a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. And so something, we want to put that in our culture. When we talk about, oftentimes when I'm writing my lessons and I make my, like, what's the goal of this lesson? I've mentioned this to you before, is when I put the goal of my lesson, I always start with to inspire the disciples at Northeast, or to inform the disciples at Northeast, to encourage the disciples. I'm always trying to use that language, disciples, because that's what we are. We're not just part of a social club. We've all decided that we're going to follow after this rabbi from 2,000 years ago, and we want to become like him. And so as disciples of Jesus, when we say that here at Northeast, we want to embed this in our culture. Here's what we mean. When we talk about a disciple, and particularly the path of a healthy disciple, we're talking about someone helping someone find and follow Jesus, or to be people who have found and continue to follow Jesus. We want to be people who are regularly and consistently changed by Jesus. That just as we pray, God's will be done in Cincinnati as it is in heaven, and we pray, wait, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, that we're also daily praying, God, let your will be done in me as it is in heaven. And every piece of us and every part of us and every corner of our mind will be brought captive to the kingship of Jesus. And then the third thing is that that disciples of Jesus join the mission of Jesus. So a healthy disciple is someone who finds and follows Jesus, someone who is changed by Jesus, and someone who joins the mission of Jesus. I hope you get tired of us saying that from now on, because as we define disciple, this is going to come up regularly. It's not a new mission statement for us, but in fact, it is actually fueled by the current mission statement here at Northeast. But it is a definition I want us to get acquainted with, and one that I want us to repeat over and over as a mantra for what it means to follow Jesus. But as you'll see, and again, I've put this up before, is that this is rooted in the vision and mission of the Northeast Church already, to find and follow Jesus, to love God with all of our heart, love God, to be changed by Jesus, to grow deeper, as we say here at Northeast, and to join the mission of Jesus, to share Jesus. As we say, we love God, grow deeper, share Jesus. Right? That's rooted in this definition of what it means to be a disciple. And as I've told you already, just now, is that this chart that I want us to become regularly familiar with not only tells us what it means to be a healthy disciple, but it also shows us what it means to take a step into the mission of God. You say, you keep saying this term, mission of God, it seems so abstract. Try to define it. It's being partnered in relationship to God, to be his image bearers, and to be his ambassadors on this earth, to bring forth his goodwill to his creation. But ultimately, it's this. Is as someone who has found and followed Jesus, someone who's been changed by Jesus, and someone who has joined the mission of Jesus, for me to join that mission of Jesus then is to go back to the beginning of the cycle and help people find and follow Jesus, help people be changed by Jesus. And we've not completed the task until we make disciples who find and follow Jesus or changed by Jesus, who then join that same mission of Jesus. That this is this cycle of discipleship we see in Scripture. And what Jesus meant when he said this in Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so what's this look like? Right? Jesus is saying, first of all, I want you to help people find and follow Jesus. I want to help you find and follow me, as he's saying it. I want you to help people come to him, to be transformed and changed by him. That starts at that moment in baptism. And then help them observe all things. Help them join in this mission and go out and do the very same thing. And so in our series this past spring, as we talked about how to engage culture, we recognize the challenges that, yeah, this sounds all great, but it just doesn't seem like it was generations ago when people just seem to be pouring into our churches. How do we go out and do this in a world that seems to be increasingly more hostile and at odds with our message? And I would first answer saying, yeah, obviously in that series we recognize there have certainly been some significant changes in our culture. But at the end of the day, the task is the same. And we said there's four things that we ought to do as disciples of Jesus who are on mission. One, we need to remain distinctive as followers of Jesus. Following Jesus means something, so we live as a distinctive life as a disciple of Jesus and all that that entails in the New Testament. And number two, we live a connected life in the church of Jesus. We need to be a part of a faith community that is rooted in Jesus, people who are on mission together, that's essential to our faith, I believe. And then the third thing is to live a hospitable life in your neighborhood. Just have this heart of radical hospitality, welcoming people to your home. Perhaps you invite them to a table before you invite them to a building, right? Is to be hospitable. And then the fourth thing is to live this missional life by making disciples. And that really can just fuel everything. And we're constantly building relationships, authentic, real relationships, not just to increase numbers there at church, but to lead people to Jesus so they can find and follow him, so that they can be changed by him, and so that they can join in his mission. And so how do we take these steps? What is a next step into God's mission look like for you this morning? As we see all that we have ready for us this week, how do we take a next step? I want to give you four things to consider as we wrap up this morning. And the first thing is to ask yourself this question this week. And ask yourself, am I a disciple worth reproducing? Now, I realize that's a question that could sound super ungraceful and a little rude and a little touchy. But it was a question I was impacted by when Nick and I, we went this past spring to the discipleship.org conference. And this question was posed. And on the one hand, yeah, it makes me really look at myself and ask a question. But I also don't want us to look at it in a way that's legalistic. But just challenge ourselves. Are we people who truly follow Jesus? Are we people who are truly positioning ourselves in a regular place through spiritual disciplines, through life and community, through through life group, to be changed by Jesus? Are we taking that serious? And then are we people who are joining the mission? And so say, do I have a spiritual discipline, a relationship, partnership with God that I want to see instilled with others? If not, then there's some other questions to be asked. But we need to ask that question inward. The second thing is just devote some time to prayer and fasting. That's what this has been, these 2 days of prayer and fasting have been all about. Because I tell you what, when Nick and I were at that conference this past spring, and we had been planning this stuff way before this conference last spring, so it's truly a God timing type thing for us to go and to be a part of that conference. But we were so overwhelmed because everybody had like their 10-step process for how to make disciples, and then this other group over here had this like 14 step, and this other group had like a 25 step. So you can tell the week went on, it was just like progressively like more steps. And we're just, man, how do we put this into our lives, and how do we instill this into the culture at Northeast? But something I was impressed by was over and over again, people would say, but listen, here's your first step, is you need to go to the Lord and have serious time in prayer to him over these changes you want to make in your own life and this culture you want to imprint into your churches, is you need to devote time to prayer and fasting. And Lord willing, we're gonna do more of that, make that more of a regular part of our church. And then the third thing is, if you're intimidated by this, just maybe take a step back and ask for help. Be discipled by someone. Identify someone you see doing this well and say, hey, can you help me along here? And can you help me along this journey in making disciples? And then lastly, as you think about just this year, think about what we're doing next week and all that, but look past next week, because next week's going to be fun. It's going to be the icing on the cake of everything we've been planning this year. But this goes further than just what we're doing next week. And begin to identify some people that you can pour into and disciple, whether they're far from God, they're not yet following Jesus, or maybe they are, and there's just someone you can invest in and maybe be accountable to, and as you go along this journey to make disciples and to impact the culture around us. We have more to come in this series. This is just sort of an introduction. Next week, we're going to have a panel discussion with myself and some of the ministers from the Madison Church, and look forward to those conversations. And then we're going to be talking more about what this looks like in the coming years here at Northeast for us to truly become what we might call a disciple-making church, a church that is on mission, a church that is committed to making disciples in a regular way, or a regular basis, consistent basis, through our regular everyday lives. And so this morning, I get it. You know, I hear the voices, as we talk about disciple-making, we talk about reaching the lost, I hear the voices out there that say, listen, people just don't want to hear it anymore. People just don't have a heart for God like they did generations ago. And I think that that's could not be further from the truth. Yes, culture shifted. Things are different. We live in a culture that, yeah, it has some difficult aspects to it in terms of being aligned to what we see in Scripture and the ethics of Jesus. But I got to tell you something. I don't think much has changed. Jesus never said this was going to be easy. He never said, go and make disciples. And by the way, everyone you ask and invite to become a disciple of Jesus, they're going to respond. The disciples, the original disciples, this was a challenge. This was a struggle. And God invites us into that struggle. And the good news is this, is that what God is inviting us to is not to plan and to execute a new mission, but he's asking us to join the mission he's already planned, he's already executed, and he's already brought about through Jesus. He's done the heavy lifting through Jesus, and now he invites us to step into that mission through the power of the Holy Spirit and just show up and be ready to see what God does through this church. If you have any need, we invite you this morning. If you want to take a step into the prayer room with some of the elders, get some things off your chest, talk to them, maybe you need some prayers. Or right now, as we're about to sing a song, if you'd like to come seek the prayers of your brothers and sisters around you, or perhaps you'd like to make that commitment today to become a disciple of Jesus, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.